Blue Apron Take Back Dinner. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is a truth, one is a lie. We try to figure out which one is a lie. And you know what, Jessica?
What?
This podcast is brought to you by Blue Apron.
Take back dinner.
There you go. If you want to try a meal delivery service, go to Blue Apron. Figure it all out. When you get to the code box, put in the word liars and you'll get 30% off. Right, Jessica?
Rightio.
Okay, will you please introduce our guest?
I would love to. This gentleman next to me, this handsome hunk right here
meow.
That I don't have a crush on, he directed the movie A Stand-Up Guy. He's a writer on Videos After Dark. He tours with Bob Saget. He's a paid regular here at the Comedy Store. This is Mike Young.
Yay, Mike Young. Yay.
Great to be here.
Thank you, Mike Young.
Thank you.
And you know what's exciting after you introduce our other guests is they've been here before.
Yes, they both have.
Yeah, it's cool.
But none of them on video.
That's right.
They were in the very beginning. So this next gentleman over here, the big thing right now, he is a hilarious comedian, and he just dropped his stand-up special.
Congrats.
Yeah, yes. Such a huge thing.
And it's called Dog Stepfather. It's on All Things Comedy on YouTube. You should go watch that ASAP. This is Mark Ellis.
Thank you. Very good to be a fellow returning champion with Mike Young. And happy birthday, Felicia.
Thank you.
We weren't going to mention that.
Yeah. It's my birthday, and Jessica made all the guys blow up the balloons for me.
We are all
is that on video?
I don't know. But we're in the basement of the Comedy Store, and to see that many men blow things is pretty cool.
Probably not the first
Congratulations,
time.
Ladies. It's your time.
This is the most cheer that the basement of the Comedy Store as ever.
Well, without cocaine.
No doubt.
People used to be murdered down here. Now there's happy birthday balloons.
Yeah.
Well, we have a little surprise.
A little something for you.
A little something.
A little something something.
Happy birthday to you.
Do you have a lighter?
Happy birthday, dear Felicia.
Watch out, it's
happy
a firework.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, if you catch my hair on fire, bitch, I'll kill you.
Oh, my God!
Yay!
That's beautiful. Nothing more flammable than soundproof coating.
I know.
Okay.
It's just going to keep going for a while.
No.
I am entranced by this lightsaber.
I know.
Sure the exposure looks good.
Well, that was very nice.
Thank you very much.
We should do one more thing.
Oh, there is one more thing we have to do.
There's one more thing we have to do.
Alice is going to dance for.
What the?
Look at this.
What is that?
You?
We came prepared with a new wardrobe. Oh,
you guys are funny.
We felt we needed Felicia t-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So I drew a little something for us.
Oh, well, thank you.
Michael in the video booth, who has his own, who I'm sure will put himself on camera, he has one as well. He printed these out for us.
Bring in Felicia's.
Oh, yeah, Felicia, you have one too. So
It's about my backpack.
What is it?
It's
the same thing. It's you. But
we know how to keep the excitement going here on our podcast. Don't let anyone tell you anything different.
three parties before it starts.
Wow.
Well, we're already being reported for copyright laws on the happy birthday song.
Oh,
so.
I'm not supposed to sing.
Are you serious?
Thanks a lot, Stosh James Peterson, you jerk.
There it is.
Thank you. Sweet. It means so much.
And the fire department is on their way down here, too.
The smell of fireworks is amazing.
Did y'all know the fire department in West Hollywood actually does do training once a year at the Comedy Store?
Really?
Yeah, because this place is so flat. Like if this place catches on fire, it's done in 10 minutes.
And there's no way out. Like, there's all stairs and hallways.
And yet
corridors.
You brought fireworks into the basement.
Oh, when she said that, I was like, surely
weren't
you don't
they
need,
fun?
Like, a firework.
I know when you showed up in your United States Air Force jacket, I was like, what the fuck, man? It's my birthday and you're wearing a United States Air Force jacket? What the fuck?
That's how I knew the firework was real. If you're from the South and you wear military merchandise, whatever firework you brought is actually flammable.
This is the fanciest cake I've ever bought. It says happy birthday, Felicia.
Thank
These
you.
Are chocolate covered strawberries
Ooh.
That oh, we wow. can eat.
Okay.
Is okay. that from, where is that cake? Is it from Sweet James or whatever it's
from
called?
It's from Ralph's.
It's from Van Bakery.
Oh, wow.
I went that to a real bakery.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Oh, thank you, Jessica.
That is a good looking
And this
cake,
little dent here is Jessica's finger where she
I accidentally hit it.
That's all good. It's all good. Thank you so much. But so we're going to just start the podcast. I think, Mark, you should go first.
Sure. So I'm telling two stories here tonight. One is a true story, and one is a total lie that I made up. And you'll have to guess which one is which.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Just reminding the viewers who maybe just tuned in for the birthday celebration.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
There's a show afterwards.
And we are playing along live with viewers. And so Austin here to my right is our on-air producer. And also in the over there, he brought the cake in, is Michael Evans, our other on-air producer. And Austin will be relaying everyone's comments on YouTube Live.
Do you mean that some cockwad that's watching live reported us for copyright?
No, it was a joke. He's still hanging with us.
Don't Jessica's call the three people that are listening cockwads.
Melody Martinez said for safety, though, next time, which you probably do, for she's a jolly good fella.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, right. That's not copyrighted for she's a jolly good fella?
I think it was probably another dig.
Okay. All right. So go ahead, Mark.
All right. So both of my stories tonight revolve around the world famous comedy store in some capacity. I had the good pleasure of running into my buddy Freddie Lockhart upstairs tonight, and Freddie and I used to live down the street from each other on Vine. And so frequently, this is right after I got made a paid regular. He'd been a paid regular for a few years, and on a Friday or Saturday night, when I was trying to get a belly room spot, or maybe I was opening like the late night OR, and Freddie had a good main room spot, I would drive my 95 Honda Civic, and I'd pick him up, and then we'd go down to the store, we'd do our stuff, we'd hang out for a few hours, and then we'd ride back together. And more often than not, before I dropped Freddie off, there was a Taco Bell that's on Vine, and we'd swing around Taco Bell for some late night treats around 2:30 in the morning. So
I can confirm this, but they close at 2 o'clock.
That is that's not the bullshit part of the story. Didn't say it was 1:45. So that was our usual routine when we were both in town, just so you have some context. So one night, I was opening the OR, and this is Friday night before we had two shows. This is the show in the original room, 9 p.m., and I go on stage, and it's a good crowd, and there's this guy in the front row who's just a total obnoxious drunk asshole, but I mentioned Taco Bell, and he took particular offense to that. I did some joke about the ingredients or whatever, dog food or whatever it was. And he took offense to it. And so I had to like stop the show and like tell him to like, you know, address the heckle. Uh-huh. And so I bring up Freddie at 9:15. Freddie comes up. He has the same issue with this guy. And he eventually gets kicked out. I think he got kicked out by the fourth comic. Back then it was Harris Pete who was working. Remember Harris Pete?
Oh, yeah. Harris Pete was he was not gentle.
No.
Well, I don't know if you realize this or not, Mark, but my first paid job was at Taco Bell.
Was it really?
I thought you were about to say, I don't know if you know this, but Harris Pete's my dad.
That would make so much sense, by the way.
He was just such a crusty old guy. I finally broke him when I was after working at the store for like 5 years. Like I brought up, he just did not want to have a connection with anybody. But I found common ground because he was talking about some Yankees team, like the 78 Yankees. And I was like, yo, so sad after Thurman Munson died in the plane crash. The fact that I knew who Thurman Munson was made I was his honorary son for like the rest. So then I got like some good stories about like
Thurman Munson.
He was a catcher for the New York Yankees.
Very good.
Oh, I thought he was from the Munsters.
I should know that.
Because when the Yankees were in the World Series against the Dodgers, my mother and myself watched the whole series in a little town in Fountain, Colorado. And we loved Thurman Munson.
He's a great player.
Weirdly, we were both in love with Thurman Munson.
Hall of Fame player. And so from that, I got all these stories from Harris about how great like Michael Keaton was at stand-up before he went on to other things, and Jim Varney went on to play Ernest. But so Harris Pete, he had a way of kicking people out where he would just walk up to, he was not like trying to sneak through the shadows. He would walk up to him and say, yo, you're out of here. And that's what he did. But that wasn't until the fourth comic. So Freddie and I were both drinking on the porch complaining about this guy. And he gets kicked out. He sees us. There's some shit talking back and forth. Anyway, he goes his separate ways. So the next night, Saturday night, I don't even think I had a spot Saturday night. Pick up Freddie. We come to the comedy store. We're driving back. This is probably about...
That's how much the illness of comedy is. Without a spot, you still come and hang out. I know. It's such a sickness.
I've always said the comedy store is like a bug zapper for crazy people.
Yes.
It's like that blue light, and we all cannot resist going, and it's going to zap us. We're going to fall down, and we're going to get back up the next night and come back for more.
I wish it would kill me already.
I'm opening the OR at 9:55. Don't yeah. Forget.
Okay. I wish it would just fucking end it already.
So we
kill me.
So we go. What, my story? Or
No. Okay. Buzzing zapper. Kill us already.
You having that poor of a time?
You're going to come here. No. I'm saying, you know what it is.
I know.
The comedy story. Yeah. Exactly what you said.
Just turn the lights off. Back. So I can live out my real destiny of running a mini golf course in Virginia. So this is now the Saturday night, and we're hanging out, and Freddie's done, and we get in the car, and naturally it's Saturday at 12:45, 1 a.m. time to go to Taco Bell. Place our order, get whatever. Back when they had the double XL burrito, when they just introduced it, and it's like, oh my God, it's party time.
Yeah. Late
get a couple cheesy gorditas. And we order our big bag of food. To quote your old joke, this is like $15 worth of Taco Bell. So we're about to eat like kings.
Hell yeah.
Go through the drive-thru. Guess who hands us our bag of effing food?
The heckler.
The heckler named David.
Did you eat your food?
We ate our food. He didn't know it was us until we pulled up. And I don't know that he recognized us because I think he was pretty drunk the night before.
Uh-huh.
But we both knew it instantly. And we were kind of like shell-shocked, like you don't know what to say.
Right.
I think I might have like honked the horn, or maybe Freddie did that passenger rule no-no where he leaned over and honked the horn after we got our food. Uh-huh. And we're pulling out and he just like laid on the horn for a couple minutes, but...
You should have did your Harris Pete impression right at that moment.
Tickets! You're out of here!
That's what
So then we found out that David actually worked at Taco Bell. And I'm not excusing that's why he took offense to my joke. He was just an asshole and a drunk asshole. But
right.
He actually worked at the Taco Bell.
A lot of that food is just add water.
Well, I think it used to be. I really want to believe.
Whatever you need to believe, Mark, but
I want to believe they've cleaned up their act since then.
I haven't been to Taco Bell in 9 years.
Man,
I used to go to Taco
Bell. Self control.
No, I used to go to Taco Bell every night. I was at Taco Bell late night eating. Like,
I remember the
thing.
Day Mike Young got on a health kick, and I don't know if he's ever because he comes up one night and he's like, "Bro, I got a juicer," and I'm like, "What the fuck's a juicer?" And he's like, "Bro, I've been doing kale, I've been juicing, I'm shitting like three times a day," like, and I'm like, "This guy is healthy as a horse over here."
All it takes for me is one time getting sick somewhere, and I'll never do it again.
Well, that's the thing is
Taco
like
Bell got me once
because I've had like bouts of healthiness, and like if you don't eat fast food for like a month and you go back to like a Taco Bell, your body is like, what is this?
Poison.
It's introducing a foreign substance.
I had that with Kentucky Fried Chicken where I couldn't eat that for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Because you got just one bad bucket.
One bad bucket.
But then the colonel brought back those mashed potato bowls and you're like, well, I can't say no.
I got to try it.
Loves potatoes.
I'm only human here. Yeah.
Well, that's a good first story. It's kind of a sneaky little fucking story because within your story, it's full circle about the Taco Bell.
It's so, got like the callback.
Yeah. So that's a sneaky little first story.
And it did start with the Taco Bell being open at 2:30.
And him and Freddie did ride like road dogs. You guys were always rolling together.
If I was to film this like a Tarantino movie, I think I would open up with like the Taco Bell at dawn. You know,
right?
And just like because
when
story,
they're mixing the dehydrated beans with water,
it starts out in the kitchen at Taco Bell, and there's whatever it goes on in the kitchen at Taco Bell, they're adding water to the beef, or there's like a dead body on the floor, like whatever that is,
right?
You know that's going to be a central character.
Well, put it this way, it's not much of a kitchen, more than just an assembly line.
Especially not at that one, because that one was like it wasn't drive through only, but that like I don't know that I ever saw a human being walk in and out of that Taco Bell. It was you were able to, but it was that part of town, people don't really want to get out of their cars.
You don't know the panic of
only
a teenager.
Yeah.
Then when you're working the drive-thru and it's your first like real job like that you you're paying taxes, and then a van full of people pull up and they're like, "We want 20 tacos, hard shell, 20 soft shell, 20 burritos," and we're like,
"We're in the weeds."
We got a real job.
Yeah,
I was on the road in Orlando probably about a month ago, and there was a Taco Bell right next to the Days Inn where I was staying. And I did that thing that you're not allowed to do, but I just sweet talked my way into it. I got Taco Bell food from the drive-thru without being in a car, because they have those things.
Really?
They're like, "We're not supposed to do this," and I'm like, "Look, I'm just I'm a hungry comic. Can you just, and I got a meal.
Wow. Come on, I'm on rollerblades. Just let me through.
Well, let's move right along to Mike's first
real quick,
story.
Real quick. Okay, Camille Martinez says, in honor of Felicia's birthday, I will adhere to the too many details requisite of a lie. And the story tells of too many details. Story one.
I know,
lie.
It's a tricky, tricky little story. Yeah, it's a sneaky, sneaky little story. Yeah.
And I don't know who Wina Goldfish is, but they say that Mark Ellis is actually out of his apartment. Wow. So I don't know if that's somebody that stalks you and
that Wina Goldfish. Yes. Yeah. So to tell that person, the Taco Bell drive-through story that was in Orlando was our mutual friend Tom Dagnino I was with. So. Mm. That's
all right. Oh, nice. Well, Ellis knows his direct contact.
I know my audience.
Yes. Wow. Wow. All right.
How do you think my special has so many views on it? It's not a bunch of people, it's just one guy that just keeps watching it. And I'm like, hey, how many times you watch today? Keep going.
Every fast food operator.
Would that one guy be
South
you?
Florida.
It's me. Yeah. I just keep hitting it. Look at the views go.
All right. Do your story now, Mike.
Okay, I'm gonna tell a story about the first time that I ever slept with a hooker.
What were you like, 15?
Many times have you slept with a hooker?
Not that many.
Well, you fucking know how many times you slept with a hooker. How many times? What's the exact number? Waiting.
Maybe like 11.
11 times with a hooker?
Wow. Yeah. How many different hookers is
yeah,
the question?
Yeah. All the same hooker?
13. Does that make sense mathematically?
But so, why? Because you have women crawling all over you.
What is
here.
That about?
All the time.
First of all, I'm 18 years old.
Right? Yeah, but that was the first time?
Well, no, that's not. I didn't lose my virginity to a hooker. I just have a story.
You were just like, I lost my virginity. Now I'm going to ratchet it up a notch and get a hooker.
I love that already. We've separated the
judgment
stories.
Look at this.
You from Mark to Mike.
We go from a Taco Bell story to a hooker story. We have fucking questions.
No, Mike's talking about sleeping with a hooker, and Jessica's like, "But you do so well with the ladies." I tell a story about Taco Bell 3 a.m. and Jessica's like, "That makes sense. Yeah, that adds up."
Perfectly said.
By the way, doing well with the ladies has nothing to do with the hooker lane.
Like, what is that? What? Tell us about the hooker lane.
The hooker lane, when you go back and you think about what's on your mind at times like this, as a writer and a comedian and just someone that you just know you're not going to have a normal life, I always think like, it's for the story. We got to do this for the story. I need the story. Like, I want to live it, and then we'll talk about it.
I do that now, but not when I was
younger.
Not
with hookers.
Well,
but not when I was young, but now I'll do stupid shit just for the story.
That's how I feel like when I go on a Tinder date or something, I'm like, fuck it, just for the story.
Just for,
yeah, it's
you're still on, yeah, you're on, yeah, Tinder? I didn't even know Tinder still exists.
How old were you when you started stand up?
Well, I was 27 years old when I started stand up.
See, so I don't think you were doing stuff for the story yet by 18, but
No, but I live for stories. Uh-huh. I wasn't thinking about doing stand up at 18, or it might have been a dream, but I was doing it for my own story.
You want to tell the boys?
Listen, I was one of those wild kids who was like, you got to live. You just got to live. You know what I mean? Listen, I had a lot of tragedy as a kid. I didn't know I was going to make it past 22.
So let me ask you this. At the age of 18, how much did that hooker cost?
It didn't cost me anything. But it cost somebody else $500.
Oh, really?
It was $500.
Yeah, who paid for the $500?
So another woman paid for your hooker for you?
Yeah. Don't be mad at my Aunt Lisa. No. So here's the story.
Okay, all right.
Sorry. So I grew up in Detroit, right? You know, I grew up outside Detroit, and you know, my
Detroit hooker?
Yeah, so my dad has a lot of friends in Detroit. So I might have talked about this before, mm-hmm, but like my dad knows a lot of type of people. So my dad, one of his friends, was a boxing trainer and used to like go out to Vegas a lot. When we were young, we'd go to Vegas, and we never like knew what his friend did, but his friend owned like a massage parlor on 8 Mile, and like we just knew that he was like a connect. He was like had all these connections and like was super nice at Christmas. Like me and my brother would get like a booklet of like pick your gift. What do you call those? Like a brochure?
Catalog.
Like a catalog. Yeah, we get like a Christmas catalog. Pick your gift. I want a bike. I want this. And we're like, we love this guy. So cut to, I'm 18 years old. It's the weekend of like a big boxing match. And me and my dad's good friend who's like a boxing doctor, the doctor for fighters in Vegas. His son, we're like in this big suite, and I'd never been in like a big giant like Vegas hotel suite. So we're like, wow, this is the craziest thing. We're like in like 4-bedroom suite in Vegas, and we're sitting there and we're hanging out. And my dad's buddy, who's like the underworld type of guy, he's like 15 feet away, and he's talking to his buddy, and like in walks first, like he says it's like the head of Caesar's Palace. And so they're over there and they're like talking, like they're talking like shady stuff is happening. Like they're talking about, well, I hear gun, and then I hear like Bahamas, and then I hear like travel, and then I hear like this guy might have to go. And we're like 10 feet away. And so I look at my dad's friend's son, and I'm like, do you think that they're just messing with us to like trying to scare us because we're 18? So he's like, no, no way. Just don't say anything. So next thing I know, a knock at the door, and the most beautiful blonde woman in like a blue jacket just walks in, right? Just like record stops. She just walks
in. A blazer?
Not a blazer, but like a leather jacket.
She gets hung up on, like, if I wear a blazer, she's like, are you going to sell some real estate?
Yeah, I didn't
like,
know you were so.
She gets hung up on shit like that.
I didn't know you're so fashion judgy.
She had like the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be judging hooker fashion. This shit was in back then.
You who showed up in your United States Air Force jacket.
Yeah. So I fought walks. You for your freedom to wear those blazers.
True enough. You
fucking, by the way, you
bitch.
Protected everybody for sure. So she walks in, and I'm like, wow, that's I don't know what's going on right now. My dad's friend gets off his little couch area. He goes up, he like says a couple words to her, and then all of a sudden she goes up the stairs into like a corner room. So I'm like, it's about the story. So I'm like, I say to my buddy, I'm like, you think if I asked my dad's friend, like if I asked him, would he pay for me to like get like, could I get a favor? So
I get an advance in my allowance. Yeah.
So I'm 18 years old, and I basically go to my dad's buddy. I'm like, I mean, I could say his name, Lane. I'm like, Lane.
That's my middle name.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
Well, look at that. I believe in all this.
How'd you get that middle name?
Exactly.
Lane Frost, the bull rider, not exciting.
That was the name of the cousin the last name of the cousin I slept with.
Wow, Lane, most likely to...
Mike, give me one more random name.
To procure a prostitute.
Wow. Freddie.
Oh, well, Freddie was in his first story.
Lane was such an interesting random name pull for you to just try to hide the guy's name. Lane?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
very
Freddy.
Creative.
Yeah,
now I don't... Yeah. Now, you threw me further off knowing if your story's a lie. That's just that you're too good at weird details on the
fly. Yeah, I go deep on details. Dude. True or false?
Lane. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I ask him, Lane, is there any way that you would pay for me to like? And he's like, Michael,
can we split the time?
I mean, like, I wasn't really sure how it all worked.
You finish early if there's still time left on the hour. I
just knew that this was a situation that I couldn't not ask for. Like, I just had to ask. This wasn't in the catalog for Christmas. So I said, Lane, is there any way that you would, like, maybe pay for me? He's like, oh, Michael, your father would kill me if he knew I did something like this. I'll be right back. And he goes upstairs, and he, like, disappears for, like, you know, 30 seconds. He comes back down. He's like, go on up. Like, he's, like, a little upset, but he's like, all right, kid, go up. I just paid her $500. And he tells me that he spent...
What year is this?
This was like, I don't know, 91, 2.
So it might have been $250 a pop.
A pump. Because it didn't
last.
You were
18, so it was like half a pump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get like $430 back?
After you halfway went inside of her and splooched. It's
literally
my birthday. I get to say that.
So I go up. So he's like, go ahead. Go upstairs. I already took care of it. So I'm nervous. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm like, she's a human being. I start talking to her about, like, I start asking her, like, does your family know? How does your family feel about this? Where are you from? You know what I mean? How'd you get to Vegas? She's basically like, shut up, kid, and go put a condom on and then come back out. And so I go into the bathroom and I put on a condom and I come out and we have sex for about 80 seconds.
Nice.
And yeah, and she earned $500 for 80 seconds.
What position?
And it was...
yeah, like what was
one,
that?
It was seven pumps missionary, one flip. And it was and it was over. And it was literally over.
Pancakes.
It was over. It was over. The whole episode took under it was like It was fitting that I was there for boxing because it was a 3-minute round, and it was I was under 3 minutes. It was done. She got her money.
It was a knockout.
She didn't even remember me being there. I went back down with the biggest smile on my face I ever had, and that was it. And then,
so let me ask you a question. When you were, because you were all nervous, and when you were asking her about her, does her family know and all that, were you hard at that moment?
I was hard when she walked in the room.
Okay, all right. All right.
When she came in dressed like Julia Roberts from that movie, whatever that movie, I was already, that's what propelled me off the couch to ask the question.
Right.
I was ready to go.
Yeah. Had you, now you were 18, had you had intercourse previous to this?
I had had intercourse.
How many times previous to this?
And what's it like?
Ellis, you're gonna love it. It's such a warm. You're gonna love it, bro.
Can I borrow $500?
You're gonna love it. You're gonna call Freddie. You're gonna go to Taco Bell after. You know what I mean? David's gonna get you a burrito. You're all gonna sit around and no one's gonna heckle. You're gonna have so much fun. But yes, I had had sex prior to that.
A lot of sex, or how much sex?
A decent amount for. You know, looking back, you have regrets on weird things. I actually regret that I actually had sex at 15.
Dude.
And like, I regret
I'm
that.
I'm in the same boat. I had sex super young, and it used to be like a bragging point when you're a teenager. But like now I look back and I go, 13 is really weird.
Totally. I feel like I got
13.
I was in eighth grade. Yeah.
Really? Was it with another eighth grader?
Yeah. Well, she was 14. So that seemed.
That's bragging rights.
I was 14 when I lost my virginity. How old were you?
I was 17.
Weirdos.
I was 17.
I was 7.
Yeah, because all my friends were already having sex. And then we went to, this is how old I am. I don't want to talk about it on my birthday. But this, but the Bette Midler's stage movie, The Divine Miss End, came out. And we were from a little like town, and it was very Christian. And we all went to go see that movie, and she said the word fuck in it. And literally, when I was 16 years old, literally, I was like, this is just not Christian. And I left the theater, and I was just like stormed out. And then like 3 months later, I had sex. And then within a year and a half, I was a stripper.
Wow.
But to stand up in a theater and go, this is just incorrect.
By the way, how does that trajectory take off? What is in your mind when you go from like, good Christian girl, I can't believe she just said fuck, I'm gonna have sex,
right,
and now you're a stripper? There is something in your mind that's happening.
Well, I got married because my dad was in the service, and so the town that I grew up in was next to Fort Carson, so it was an army town, so there's a lot of young GIs, and so probably 90% of the girls that I grew up with married young GIs. So everyone was married when they were 18 or 19. And the guy I married to was violent. So I had to like leave and kind of go and figure out how to make a living super quick. So
I think
that's
also
how that happened.
If you stand up and you object to Bette Midler dropping an F-bomb, like you have a visceral reaction in the moment. And then I think there's like self-reflection afterwards, where it's like, why am I so upset? What is this all?
There's no fucking self-reflection when you're 16.
I had time for self-reflection before my first time. Because
really?
I was on the eve of my 21st birthday.
You were 20, almost 21 when you first time you
God
had
bless
sex?
You, Ellis.
Yeah. Oh.
The life of a good kid.
Yeah, well, I dated a girl in high school. Her name was Magic the Gathering. That was just for you kids out there.
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. No, but I had a first-year girlfriend in college, and it might have even been like a week before my 21st birthday. Went out to Olive Garden. Classy.
Like a junior in college?
Went back to my dorm room.
Uh-huh.
Put on some Def Leppard, if you know what I mean.
We know what you mean.
Yeah.
How old were you, Austin?
He's still a virgin.
16.
Oh, you were?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because he's a big Christian. He lives with his pastor.
He's not that big.
Yeah. Make weight jokes over there. Pot calling kettle black.
You live with your pastor and you held out till you were 16?
Yeah,
that's impressive.
He didn't force me until then, so it's lucky.
It's a long story.
Yeah. Damn.
This could easily just become a virginity podcast. Losing your virginity podcast.
Yeah, I lost my virginity in the woods of the Rocky Mountains, and I remember
with John Denver playing in the background.
John Denver, I'm not that fucking old, and fuck off.
I love John. I listened to John Denver yesterday.
You did?
I love John Denver.
What were you doing that you were like?
He's on my podcast playlist.
Really?
Are you kidding?
Well, speaking of church, actually, our youngest church member, his favorite artist, John Denver. I have no clue where in the world
he's incredible, John Denver. What a voice.
Yeah, him and I used to go to Taco Bell. That was my second story, was to John Denver.
Are you kidding?
And spoiled then afterwards, it. You guys would say, oh, God.
Book two. Four chords of the truth.
But anyway, we went to like a kegger, and then at the kegger, there was this guy named Todd Glaze.
Todd Glaze?
I lost my virginity to Todd Glaze.
Did Todd hear that in there?
Todd Glaze. Todd Walker, Todd Glaze. And then we went for a little walk in the woods, and then he pushed me down. We had sex, and I was literally like, it was like, all my friends had sex for 2 or 3 years already. So I was like, we might as well get it over with. And I remember as he was doing his thing, that there was a stick that kept poking me in the ass. And so, like,
one stick.
No, it was a stick as he was, and that was it. That was my story.
Jesus.
Todd Glaze.
Double penetration on your first time. Okay, no wonder everything took a left turn.
I know.
Happy birthday.
Aw, I love
thought
you.
I lost my virginity in the Wilson Mall.
You thought you did?
We bit over it, but I had butt sex and didn't know it wasn't real sex.
I had butt sex.
Butt sex.
Then you had to like throw the challenge flag and have a review. And
I hate to. She got on the mic with the security at the mall. Mall security.
After further review, Jessica did not make a football move during intercourse.
I hate to hurt your feelings, but butt sex is real sex too.
I was gonna say.
Was that my virginity?
Unnecessary roughness.
I think real. It's column A, column B. I don't think you lost your virginity.
Uh-huh. T.I. would still be upset.
No, I would say you did lose your virginity, just not a conventional.
I've never had butt sex.
You've tried it.
No. Wow, that's the quickest silence anything.
I've never had butt sex. Yeah. Just not my thing.
Wow, the stick in the woods was my the closest. Thing
either. Yeah, have you had butt sex with a prostitute?
Not with a prostitute, but an Instagram model. So she might as well. But you know, you never know. Call her what you want.
I just always feel like, are you sure you're having a good time with this right now?
I'm
like,
not into it.
It's me. It's six of one, half dozen of the other. I'm like, if you really want this, then I'll do it. But it's like, are you having a good time?
I don't like it. I thought that was what sex was when he put it in there. So I was like, oh, this must be it.
Yeah.
Was it painful though? How old were you?
14.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Call the police.
Wow. That's one sexy Walden books.
By the way, the girl that I had sex with, she was 20 when I was 15.
Oh wow!
So okay, that's illegal.
You were like tall and lanky, weren't you?
I was lanky. Yeah. I met her in a pool.
Played basketball.
Did she know you were 15?
I don't think it came up. Everything happened so fast. It was like a whirlwind.
What size shoe do you wear?
12.
Yeah.
Were you an old looking kid? Were you like when you were like 15? Were you the one that like bought cigarettes and
no?
Beer and
I didn't
stuff?
Get hair on my body till I was like 23.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I was the same way. Yeah.
All of a sudden, after college, I got like a hairy chest in
you
my.
You have hair
shins.
Now.
I have a shit ton of chest hair now, yeah. Oh. Some of it's white now, too. I look like Old Man Logan when I take my shirt off. But
I got a full chest. I mean, I look, Grizzly Adams. I'm just cuddling Grizzly Adams right now.
All brown pubes still.
I think good we can you. Move on to Mark's second story now. Go ahead. That's fair. By the way, do we have any comments from the...
There are many comments. There are ages. There are all kinds of things.
Todd Glaze is weighing in.
What up, Glaze?
Hey, time to make the donuts.
Pretty much.
In regards to the stories, Ken Lofgren says that was a dumb, goofy story. He thinks it's probably true. Cal Wiggum says, I believe Lil Pump seems legit.
Lil Pump. Mike.
Lil Pump.
Young.
By the way, I know who Lil Pump is. Is that a rapper? That's like a real rapper.
I don't know.
Yeah. Lil Pump.
Stosh James Peterson was 14 when he lost his. Ken was 19. She was 18, he says. And somebody on here, I think it might have been also Ken, wanted to remind everybody that Felicia was Joey Gladstone's girlfriend on Full House. I don't know where that came up in the conversation,
totally true.
It is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said Felicia is the God, Jess is the God, and they're going on and arguing about who's the God. Jesus, Jessica. Lots of things going on in here. Humiliate me, please. I deserve it. Lots of things going on in
didn't
here.
Didn't read that Michael is the man comment. But
oh, where is
you.
That? Sorry.
Lost right over, bro. You just got to give me the little pump.
Sorry. He was right under Austin is the man, my bad.
But Michael, what do you think about these stories?
Oh, man, I love the stories. If one of them's not true, I'm going to be upset. I'm just on board enough with the Taco Bell one. Realistic enough for me. Sounds like some Comedy Store shit and some Taco Bell shit, right? And then the whole, I don't know enough about, I'm going to need a second story from Mike especially.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right. So go ahead with your second story if you don't mind, Mark.
Right. As I indicated, this one is also taking place primarily at the world famous Comedy Store. And I like to weave in real life characters into whatever story I'm telling, whether it's truth or fiction. And so Mike is going to remember this next gentleman. This guy was kind of, we all know Boone Shakalaka here at the Comedy Store.
Who, yes.
He'll sell you some t-shirts, some books. How did he get them? We don't know, but they're only a dollar. So
before, he always tries to charge me $3.
Before you got to get the there's a discount. I have like a punch card.
Okay.
So before Boone Shakalaka, there is this. He was a Russian, big bulky purveyor of goods with a shopping cart named Monkey Bone.
Yes,
and Monkey Bone would have sometimes he'd have like high end like car stereos and stuff,
nickel plated
like,
knives.
He had a lot of hot items.
Uh-huh.
And
so you can vouch because this is when I lived in New York, so I wasn't at the Comedy Store at that time. So you can totally vouch that there was a person like that.
This dude, I remember clearly.
Okay. And he probably was around during the tail end of Harris Pete's tenure working the front door, just to give you context. So I don't even know if I was a paid regular yet. But so this is late night, probably about midnight. Everybody's done with their respective sets. I'd probably done a set in the belly room, and you know, some of my friends have done. I don't want to say, like, maybe Freddie, Simone, Cap, whoever was around, there was a bunch of us just hanging out, having a good time drinking on the patio. One of them was PJ Stansberry. Now, PJ Stansberry, diminutive comic, very funny, very angry. He talks like
troubled
asshole.
Youth. Troubled youth. Older than all of us.
From New Jersey. And so PJ was kind of always up for whatever. One time PJ said that he would love to do a reality show about him where a down and out comic gets in shape to join the army. And he said he could pull it off. And so right then on the spot, I was like, PJ, I'll give you $20 so you can do 5 push-ups. Did not make it past push-up 3. Yeah. So it's just kind of the person PJ, where he's always up for whatever, especially late at night. He had a few drinks. So Monkey Bone is pulling his shopping cart by and he's trying to sell whatever. And he's got a taser.
Monkey Bone has a taser?
Monkey Bone has a taser. And so we all see the taser and we're like, oh God, that looks fantastic. How much are you selling it for? $40. And so we're negotiating because all you really want to do is tase somebody. And so we're like, well, what, we can't buy this from you. First of all, none of us had $40 on us. We're like, we can't buy this from you until we know if it works. And he like did the taser thing. We're like, no, we need to test it on somebody.
Oh, no.
And so PJ volunteers. So now we have a volunteer, we have a taser, things are happening, but none of us have $40 cash now. We're all starving comics. And so we, like three of us look at each other at the same time. We're like, Ren is easy. Because Ren is easy had just booked the league. So we knew he had money.
That's so funny that you said Ren is easy. I was going to say him because he was stealing money from the booth.
That could have been another reason why.
What?
He always
before
had 9/11. Cash on
him. I was going to say Ren is easy. Go ahead.
So a couple of us run around. We tell Monkey Bone, wait right there. We run around the back to the back steps that lead up to the belly room. And Ren is easy. They're hanging out with some people. And we're like, Steve, don't ask questions. We need $40 cash because if you give this to us, we can tase PJ. And Steve's like, say no more. He gets up, walks to the front with us, lays down the $40. We buy the taser from Monkey Bone. And so now Steve gets the taser, tases PJ in the leg. And PJ, like, he takes it for a minute and then he goes right down. Like a sack of potatoes, just right down. And then Steve tased Monkey Bone afterwards. And then Monkey Bone went off into the night, and we have not seen Monkey Bone since.
He did disappear quickly and swiftly.
Mm-hmm. After you tased,
he was like.
Did
from
he
Kosovo.
Know he was getting tased? Was he like, "Yo, good tased"? Or he just went? He just fucking tased.
I think
him
and PJ were talking shit to each other as far as like who could stand a tasing for longer.
And where did he tase him at, Monkey Bone?
The leg. It was on the thigh, both of them. Yeah.
Monkey Bone sounds like the original member of Korn.
By the way,
yeah. Does anyone else know? Like, do you guys know? Are you guys familiar with Monkey Bone?
I am.
You are. 100%.
This dude used to have literally. He'd have like the nicest lighter, a knife, or some shoes.
Like, yeah, when you said nickel-plated knife, I'm like, this guy's got some treasure.
No, but he's also was probably a killer from another country that's hiding here. Like, he was dark.
Because sometimes it was a shopping cart.
Did he have an
cart.
Accent?
Yeah.
Yeah, thick Russian, Ukrainian accent. So sometimes it was hiding. A shopping cart. Sometimes it was his car.
Yeah.
And
he had a car?
He had a car. But in the back of the car, it was like it was somebody who lives out of their car because all of his, like, you know, shopping goods. That was like his warehouse. That was like his Costco was the back of the car. So.
I remember him all the time. Like I talked, we were like cool.
He was a regular. Cool. And so honestly, I do not know if he got banned after that or some other incident that I'm just not remembering.
He's
but,
for sure been kidnapped.
Wow. Yeah. They say anything online about this?
There's a bunch of people chiming in. Ken Lofgren says it's a fantasy name. Jake Ross says, I heard the t-shirts were $1, but they up the price to $2 this last year. Lives in Arizona. Ken Lofgren says PJ will be mad you're even telling this story to anybody.
I'm sure PJ would love the fact that I'm talking about him.
Exactly. PJ just, he's couldn't be happier.
He's a good man, that PJ.
Is he still doing comedy?
Yeah. He's still, there's a great story that is.
He's in LA though.
I don't know if he's in LA. I think he moved to Florida maybe with his mom who moved to Florida. What? I don't know. But there's a great story about PJ knocking James Painter out with one punch.
It was like, PJ was a scrapper, man.
Because Painter was looking for PJ, I think. Uh-huh. Like he was pissed at PJ for some reason. And so Painter was talking shit. And PJ was giving Painter, he was on the phone with James Painter, giving him directions to where he was.
Uh-huh.
And then Painter finds him and he walks up and PJ, I think just one punch, knocked him down the stairs.
Remember the comedian Dave Edwards, skinny Dave Edwards?
Yeah.
PJ picked him up and he threw him in the dumpster and shut the dumpster.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah,
he threw Dave Edwards in the dumpster in the back of the Comedy Store.
It's a before the Comedy Store dumpster.
Before this place, obviously, you probably remember, but like this place was empty. For years.
Yeah, I mean.
And everything was going down here. Like, the real stories were happening here when the rooms were empty.
Yeah.
And things were happening. People were hiding. I remember I saw Brian Callen tackle, like, a half homeless dude that passed off a counterfeit money.
Yeah.
Like, the police were showing up, and all of a sudden, the police were chasing him. All of a sudden, Callen, like, tackles the guy. And I'm like, wow, Callen might be telling the truth about it. It's like jujitsu that he does.
Yeah. Every 3 weeks, there was, like, a fight. Like, he had to kick somebody out.
That was
out of
during the dark period?
It was the dark period.
How things
was...
have changed, because I literally had to stop a woman from rushing the stage for Brian Callen the other night.
Oh, really?
Things have changed. Good things have changed. So,
you saying,
it all went down here.
Mike's saying that PJ, you see PJ threw a guy in a dumpster one time. That makes his story immensely more believable, right? This guy would sign up to be the guy that gets tased.
100% for sure. Well, PJ would get tased.
It's hard when guys tell two stories about the Comedy Store, because we know that these old Comedy Store situations, it can mean anything.
You're a good player, Mark Ellis.
Yeah,
you're a good
great.
Player the second
look,
time around.
I look at the Comedy Store like when you describe the NFL and what can happen, it's any given Sunday.
Right.
You know? And the same thing with the Comedy Store, any given Friday or Saturday night, crazy stuff can go down. Back in this era, this is what the Tommy Morris is the general manager.
What is this, 2004 to like 10? Like,
yeah,
what is
this? Both my stories were like 2006, 2008-ish.
Yeah.
And Tommy used to call this place an artist colony, which was a very nice term for the Island of Misfit Toys, which is exactly what it was. And still is to some degree.
It's a pleasant way to when you refer to it as the Island of Misfit Toys, that's very pleasant.
Yeah, right.
Very pleasant.
Right, right. After midnight, we all grow tails like the Lost Boys and Pinocchio.
You were very smart to keep away from the home stories, because last time I busted you because you're talking about your underoos and answering the door.
No, but that was true.
Yeah, I know. And I knew it.
Oh, right.
What's up, Austin?
I disgust myself for what was going on here between 2004 and 2010.
That's okay.
Mark Ellis knows.
It's okay.
He knows what I was
doing.
Mike and I are telling stories that we hope nobody thinks are true. Like that's a different podcast. But
well, I stumbled a bit there because I was trying to piece some comments together. Mm-hmm. Ken Lofgren, I don't want to give anything away, but knows 100%. What this story is, whether it's a truth or a lie. I won't give it away. He asked me to hold it until the end, but he knows for sure that he knows the verdict of this story.
I've trusted Ken's for sure ass before.
Right, right, right.
You're very bitter about Ken, Michael.
I love Ken. We met in real life and shit, but that dude fucks me over on picking these stories.
He's got a lot of little comments here, a lot of
details. What if we're all having a good laugh, and then we say, hey, let's put up a picture of Ken, and Mike and I see, we're like, that's Monkey.
From here on out, Ken Lofgren's known as Monkey Bone.
Monkey Bone. All right. Any other comments?
No, just from Ken Lofgren, and I don't want to give his deal away. Okay. So.
Yo, they had to start closing off parts of the Comedy Store, like construction wise, mm-hmm. because so much stuff was happening. Like you used to
back
be able to
the main room after the show.
You used to be able to go to the Belly Room. There was a door. The uh-huh. door would lead up towards where Polly's office
right,
was.
Right.
There were four offices there that were empty. There were hallways. There were. I mean,
I did hook up with a young lady in the Belly
there
Room.
There were
after
no
show.
Cameras. Yeah. Everything is on camera now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had more sex in this really? Building than I did in my own camera? Apartment.
Yeah.
Literally.
Me too, but mostly forced. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Callan really did know jujitsu.
All right, so your second story.
All right, so this is like a this is my second story. This is sort of sex related again, but it's also like a half a name dropping thing. So back when I first got to LA, or when I first got doing comedy at the Comedy Store, I was in a men's basketball league because mm-hmm. they didn't ask me to play on the Comedy Store team. They asked, so I was in a, this sounds name droppy and I'm sorry, but like my buddy who used to run the newsstand and like sell weed out of the newsstand on Sunset used to come over to the Comedy Store all the time for like the open mic nights and, you know, just like whatever, the Sunday nights, potluck, whatever it was. And so we became buddies. And I was from Detroit. He's from LA. So he would get me like the weed and, you know,
I don't
Skittles.
Care about your weed guy. That's not a name drop.
So anyway, no, but it's going to lead to a name okay, drop. So okay. So when you run the newsstand on Sunset uh-huh. and you're from LA, you got more connections than George Clooney. You know what I mean? Like, you know everybody.
Pre-crazy
yeah. internet. It's pre-crazy yeah. internet. So we become buddies, and he was on a basketball team, like a men's league basketball team thing out here. So he's like, yo, come to the game. We need a fifth player. I was in the summer league out of Detroit, so I was a good basketball player.
Mike can ball.
I could ball at the time. And so we go and we ball. And so we go to the Gem Center that's on Little Santa Monica and we play. And he introduced me to the team. And this is like on my team is like Kevin Connolly, who's like famous on a TV show, and DiCaprio, who's like becoming a huge star after Titanic. And like this is the team. And Nick Cassavetes, who had just directed a big movie, he's like 6'6 and he's like a mean thug on the team. And like, then there's me, who's like just meeting all these dudes. Mm-hmm. So they like me because I can play and I'm like funny, a comedian, blah, blah, blah. So we become friends, right? So I'm still doing my stand-up comedy, and like these guys are, they're like 21, 22 years old. And they're starting to go clubbing. And so I'm getting off stage here, and I would get off stage here. I would never tell any of the comedians. They didn't know where I was going. I had like two lives going. So I would come down off stage. I would go to the corner, and like Leo and my boy, who knew him from childhood, who runs the newsstand, they would pick me up on the corner and we'd go clubbing. So that was kind of like what I would do. As long as I got my comedy in, I could go have fun in this other world. So one
night. And what year was this?
Oh man, this is like 2001, 2003. I'm not okay. good with like the years. It's like right there. 2001, 2003. No, I swear to God, you could ask me.
Post-Vegas hooker.
Absolutely, post-Vegas hooker. This is like two or three years into me living here in LA.
Can so, Leo play? Can he hoop?
Leo could play. He
looks like he dribbles
two-handed.
This
is post-Basketball Diaries.
Okay.
So he had learned like he had a solid post-up move. He had one pivot move. He's also like 185 pounds strong, and he was 6'1".
Oh, he's 6'1".
So he could play.
Okay.
Yeah, he could play, alrighty. But no jump shot, but gotcha. He could play.
And he can freeze you with a look.
Yeah. Oh,
stunning.
One look and a hair flip, you don't even play anymore.
Yeah.
So I would go to the corner, and they would, because he lived up in the hills, so uh-huh. they would come down, pick me up, we'd go clubbing. So one night I'm doing comedy here, and you know, it's only 3 or 6 minute sets, whatever our sets are. And I'm hanging out all night, and those guys call me and they're like, yo, we're having like an after party up at Leo's house. Just come, you know, after, you mm-hmm. know, come bring whoever you want. Just we're having an after party. So I get off stage here and I'm hanging out, and this little cute blonde is like, I just meet her here, you know, like in the back here. And she's got like a couple friends with her, and I'm solo after getting off stage, and I'm not like bringing, like Brett Ernst was around and like Sebastian was still around and Bobby Lee was running uh-huh. around sniffing glue and you know what I mean? Like twisting up Elmer's in his fingers. He was all fucked up because he almost got busted by a hooker in a motel down the street. That he called out of the back of the
that
LA Weekly.
True.
That's 100% true. And so we're hanging out, and I'm like,
you know what? I'm not familiar with like the celebrity world, but I think it's okay if I bring this girl. They said I could bring whoever I wanted to the party. So I tell this girl and her friends, they don't even believe me. Her friends are like bad attitudes. So I end up bringing this girl from here. I'm parked in the back. She comes with me. We go up to Leo's party. We go up to the like an after party. We walk in. We're hanging out. Like you walk in and there's like a bar right here. And, you know, the music's playing like the hip hop. He was way into old school hip hop. And we go in and I bring this girl in. And 5 minutes later, like, you know, there's always security up there, like just like one or two security dudes that are like properly dressed. And it turns out that I brought a legitimate stalker. Like she was a Leo stalker that was on like the watch list type of thing. Like he had like people that had stalked him. And here comes Mike Young with the stalker. And Leo's like, yo, bro, you know what I mean? Like first security came over. And I was like, what are you, like, I don't even understand this world. And basically Leo pulls me to the side. He's like, yo, bro, that's my fucking stalker. Like you can't have her here. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's fine. Like, how do you know she's your stalker? He's like, they've already vetted her. You know, she's been the stalker for like months. And Mike Young, whatever, she left. They got her out of there. They got me out of there at the same time. I drove her back down the hill. I took her back down here, dropped her off, almost lost my full friendship and basketball rights. But I brought I brought Leo Stalker to his own house. And that is a true story. That is a story.
Wow.
And it's not, by the way, and it's not even the first time I've met like a couple of his hot stalkers that have had to be like removed.
I'm sure, yeah.
His stalkers are a great demographic. Like,
and they're very smart, apparently.
Hot stalkers.
Because they found you and they're like, oh, this is a way in.
No, but that was the crazy thing. She didn't know that I knew him. She just happened to be a stalker. She was one of his stalkers, and she just was at the Comedy Store. I took her to the party.
She didn't know
She didn't know. Yeah. She didn't.
What was her name? Her first name?
Lauren. Her name was Lauren. I don't know her last name. Yeah. She was just a little blondie in a black skirt, leather skirt.
This guy's good with picking a name on the fly.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty quick.
Yeah, Lane's
probably his sister's name.
I don't have a sister.
So I will tell you all this. This is what I know about the gentleman to my right, is that he does have a lot of friends at very high places.
I know that.
Because like you get off off stage, and it's just like Mike is just kicking it with these like super famous A-listers. You're like, holy shit, this guy does, like, he's hanging out with us, but he also lives in this other world where...
He slums it with us.
Yeah. Never invited me to a Leo party because...
I invited Bobby Lee.
Yeah.
I took him.
Oh,
he wouldn't go.
Bobby Lee wouldn't go?
He wouldn't go.
Because he is a Leo stalker. He knew that he'd get...
Bobby Lee, well, he actually told the story on somebody's podcast, and he embellished the shit out of it. But, like, Bobby Lee... Toby and Lee, those guys, like, they were actually fans of, like, Mad TV. They'd, like, think Bobby Lee's hilarious. So one night here, I'm like, yo, Bobby, they're having, like, a little after party. You're more than welcome to come up there. Like, come on up. Because he was going to drive me up there anyway. My car was up there. Mm-hmm. And so Bobby's like, I can't go in. I'm like, why? He goes, he's like, because if there's, like, a pool, then I'll have to suck Spider-Man's dick. And I can't go in. I can't go in. I'm like, it's not like that, bro. Like, I know you heard
the
wild stories.
Yeah, but he probably knew he would make a fool of himself or something.
He literally wouldn't go in. There was, like, a fun after party, and Bobby Lee dropped me off and left. And he just didn't want to go.
Couldn't do it, yeah.
I've known Mike for 51 minutes and 41 seconds. And before the, like, I mean, just to confirm what he's saying, I saw Simon Rex outside. I just never seen him in real life. And I was like, oh, cool, it's Simon Rex. And then I look, he's talking to this guy. And
was that the guy you brought down here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was Simon Rex?
Simon's been on like a bunch of shows.
Scary Movie 3.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a great dude. But he was actually on that basketball team. He was on our team.
Really?
I forgot that Simon was on the team.
I love Simon.
He's a great dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a missed opportunity when I was on the Comedy Store basketball team and we were winning championships. It should have been the Comedy Store basketball team versus Mike Young's celebrity.
Yo,
team.
But I got upset with like Ari for like why was I not asked to play?
Trust me, we would have had six championships instead of four if you were on the team.
I asked multiple times. I felt like there was something going, like, who was against me? Who said I couldn't play? I want to know why I didn't get to play on the Comedy Store.
That's the real mystery. That's the 30 for 30.
Well, these are...
Yo, that's going to make a great ESPN 30 for 30.
These are tough stories, though.
Yo, but it all came through my boy at the newsstand, who is now a huge producer.
Really?
So he literally went from running the newsstand and selling nickel bags like of weed out of the newsstand, growing up in L.A., to becoming a huge movie producer, super successful.
Modern day Robert Evans.
Wow. You never know who you're going to meet.
It's Michael.
You never know. At the newsstand.
Wow. You just, I've seen trajectories.
Yeah.
Well, these are four very good stories, and I love that you guys have played the game before because you guys really have thought about the stories, and I feel a little...
Yeah, you had real strategy.
I know. It's a tough one.
It's all in the details.
Come in here flying high on your birthday. By the way, look at me. I'm Felicia. I have balloons. Well, we came in here with our A game.
Okay. I will say this. Fair Ellis enough. Can act because I don't know. Ellis, because I was looking, I'm looking at his eyes for psychological different movements. I'm looking at thoughts.
Look,
good acting.
You
Ellis.
Don't book a run of Carfax commercials in 2011. You got some serious acting.
Yo, by the way, there was a time here where every comic was booking commercials.
Oh, remember Pete Carbone was in like every other commercial that was on TV.
He was in them. Ari was like in a weird field
Ari
looking around.
He had a Doritos
commercial that was great.
Bobby Lee had a run of commercials. Yeah. Run of ZZ. Everybody was killing
Justin
commercials.
Justin Wade.
Yeah.
It's like Sam Adams might bring that back around.
Yeah. What are people saying online, Austin? Anything about this story?
Well, our buddy Ken says, great, I'm going to have to change my punk drunk fantasy team name to Monkey Bone now. Thanks a lot.
Hey, the punch drunk guys will know exactly who he's talking about.
Well, that might be the key to whether or not he knows that's a truth or a lie. That
also,
story.
Brendan Fraser film.
That's why I said the movie earlier because I thought
Monkey Bone.
Oh, Monkey Bone.
Because I was like, that's why I was glad you corroborated because I thought maybe he had just, that's kind of an obscure movie title.
No, this dude was something. He was special. You knew he was a killer. But like, Ken, he was a something.
Ken says that Mike just wants us to think that this story is a lie and said that he's leading us down this path, throwing in some little body movements and gestures that might
body
be.
Body movements? What's this guy,
a
forensic psychologist?
He actually is. Lina Goldfish says this story needs more schlongs in it, so I guess that's
schlongs.
Yeah, did either of you have like explosive diarrhea at any point in any of these stories? That usually comes up at some point.
Yeah.
While telling it, I did. Yes,
I could smell that. Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna know.
Cal thinks this is definitely a lie. And then Jake Ross says Lauren the stalker trying to get Leo like Tom Hanks trying to get him writing fake checks. I guess Leo.
That's a
reference to Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Wow, I know they are difficult. What do you think, Jessica?
Well, there's a lot of details in that second one. And I have no doubt, Mike knows...
He does know a lot
of people
yeah.
in big places. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I don't know if he brought the stalker, too. That was such a coincidence, you know what I mean?
It does feel like half of that story is absolutely true, and the other half about the stalker, not so much.
Right.
But then to be 18 years old and to... ask someone's dad to pay for a hooker for you? That is some crazy ass shit.
My family, would have been par for the course.
Really?
Not $500, but...
Yeah, I mean, I remember
he was a
partying
baller.
With my mom with a bunch of skinheads.
You also think time and place where it's like, you wouldn't do that if you were hanging out in Detroit where you live, like across the street, but it's like you're in Vegas, maybe had a couple of illegal drinks, you had a puff off something, and you're flying.
Yeah.
You're living off that Vegas air.
But then, and on the other hand, because you do know a lot of people, like you have the gift of gab, so maybe you could be 18 and ask someone's... You know what I mean? Like, that makes sense to me, too. So
and I think it's different
difficult.
For guys.
Why?
Know? Because I think it's easier for a guy to ask another guy, like, come on, man.
Wait, you were out at a hockey game. Wait, I missed something in your Vegas story. You're out in Vegas. Why?
Boxing
match. Okay, yeah. I put hockey, and I was going to say that wouldn't line up because I don't think they had hockey.
Interesting that you put hockey, though. I am in a men's league hockey team.
It's all coming full circle.
Is it a celebrity hockey team?
Yeah, Leo's got a new movie coming out about the Olympic hockey team.
He's actually got a pretty mean slap shot. Yeah.
He's playing Herb Brooks.
But also this weekend, weren't you just at a boxing match? And or this weekend, you're going,
going.
To a boxing
match. You're going to a boxing match.
Tomorrow.
So. Now, let me ask you, the second story, he said it was off of Little Santa Monica. Is there a street called
Little Santa Monica?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It really is? Yeah. I've never heard of Little Santa Monica.
It's in Beverly Hills, yeah.
Yeah. You know, like when you go down Santa Monica and it goes into Beverly Hills, right? And then, but the next little street over, like to the south, there's a little street that's Little Santa Monica.
Oh, Jessica, have you never eaten at Maestro's?
No.
Oh, you would love that. You would love that.
Oh, the filet.
All right. What about any thoughts from you, Michael, about these stories? It's hard. This is a hard one.
Here's what I'm thinking, because you ran some good numbers with women, right? It sounds like you've always been a ladies' man. So
yes, he's had plenty of sex.
It's nothing I'm proud of, but this place has seen a lot.
Yeah. And you.
I'll
you
answer had... for my client. Yes.
So you were fucking pretty early. So what I'm thinking, what if he just double bamboozles us here? This story is real, but it's even cooler. Like, the lie is that, like, nah, we didn't end up having a pair, but I fucked her anyway. Or something like that. Because I believe the basketball story. He sounds like he's got too many connections. This
that seemed like kind of a real thing.
That's it. I think that's a true story, and I think the fake one might be that he had to pay to fuck that hooker.
I will say, I remember the last time that he was on here, the one that he told from back home was the lie. Although he did know, like, it was a lot of truth in it.
Which one did I tell?
I could have
about the drug dealer in the Camaro or something, or the you wrote a book about it.
Oh, White Boy Rick thing?
Yeah.
Right.
She remembers everything. When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner.
All right, Mark's first story. Both of his first stories revolve around the Comedy Store here in Hollywood. And back then, him and Freddie live in Hollywood together, and sometimes he'd have a good set, pick up Fred, they'd go and have some fun before hitting up some late-night treats at the Taco Bell. Well, one night, they're doing stand-up, and they were being heckled by this guy so bad that ungentle Harris Pete kicked Thurman Munster out of there.
So Christian.
Munster. Ungentle.
I know. Harris Pete, he was here a few months ago.
What?
Yeah. Looks just the same. Really? Looks exactly the same.
It's all cocaine.
No.
So him and Frederick go to Taco Bell and they order copious amounts of food only to get it given to them by the very heckler that Harris kicked out, and his name was David. Story two, this one takes place at the store also, and there was a fellow named Monkey Bone who used to walk around and sell all kinds of hot items late at night. One night they're out on the patio and PJ Stansberry's there, and Monk shows up with a taser, which fascinates the guys. And he was selling it for $40, so they asked to test it on PJ, and immediately PJ ate the dirt because it was pretty strong. Then they hit old Monk Bone with it, and with one charge, he hit the road and never came back. Monkey Bone never to be seen again. Hmm. Name's been given to Ken.
See,
Rocker.
Now I'm with Ken on that.
Great recap,
though.
Thank you.
I feel like I've heard that second story before. Where? I don't know. Mm. I'm going to say that one's true because of that.
The second story you think is true?
Yeah, I think the first one is a lie.
Well, the first one is... like the full circle of it lends to it being full of shit. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. And then the guy, you know, and there was no details. Do you remember the last time he was here? Did he have a lot of details?
Yes.
Both stories
but
had
very long, detailed stories.
Yeah.
The first.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jessica. Do you have to get out of here? you have a prior commitment.
You have to open the OR.
Well, I can say this about Mark's first story. That always happens to me where something happens to me in public. And I told you earlier, Mike Young, I used to see all the time. Right. He was one of my first LA Instagram follows. Used to see you all over town. The other night, we're going to see Anastasia at Pantages, me and Madison. These people were sitting in front of us. Guy's got a man bun and he's blocking our view the entire time. Yeah. And you don't want to be a dick and be like, cut your man bun. Next day, we see him at the farmer's market in Studio City, a very small little neighborhood farmer's market, and we were right behind them buying hummus.
Yeah.
So I kind of believe the like serendipity universe nature of all that.
That's true, too. That's true, too. Let's take a vote. What do you think about his stories, Michael?
I think his first story is...
is it fair that he voted because he knows
what
Ken said?
No, I was just about to say maybe I should say what Ken said. And actually, Ken and I go opposite ways. Ken knows that the second story is true because he's a punk jerk fan. He's a self-proclaimed Comedy Store nerd. Knows everything that's ever happened here. And I don't want to scroll back too far. Yeah, the taser one. He said something to the effect, Mike, if you can see it on your big screen there, he said something to the effect of Steve Renacisi, or somebody got fired in that story. And
I do remember seeing that comment.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was, but that rain is
you're,
easy.
You're thinking opposite.
Yeah, but it's very easy here as a comedian to steal someone else's story. Louis C.K. used to have this best bit about you ever had a party and you're telling someone a story and then you're just making it up. It's some you stole it from someone else and as you're finishing up the story, you realize that you're telling the story to the person you stole it from. You know what I mean? So I think it's very easy to steal a story like that too, though. Like, yeah. You know, that being said, I'm going to, God, it's fucking hard. I'm going to say the first story is a lie, even though I yes. love the Harris Pete reference, because I love Harris Pete. No, I love that grumpy old dude. I fucking love Harris Pete.
So you think the first is a lie, the Taco Bell's a lie?
Yeah.
I think that Taco Bell is a lie, because he does usually give a lot of detail.
I think Taco Bell's a lie, too.
Yeah. Me, too.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We all think Taco Bell is a lie?
That's Mike? What,
only because I know PJ, and he would definitely take a
Mike,
taser.
On board.
Yeah, he would 100% take a taser. And the first story is so good and like well thought out that it's, and you're like a movie buff, so you understand structure, and it was structured like a perfect film.
Was. Yeah,
so
the,
I
yeah.
can't give it to him.
It was when Ari Manis was here. Was his taser story true or false? I forget.
It was true about the chickens.
Yeah. So then I think taser story's got a tendency to be true around here.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's and that was like a Harold and Kumar Taco Bell.
Harris and Kumar.
I think whatever, that story happened.
Harris and Kumar.
I think that story happened, but I think something slightly off or changed to make it the lie, because I do believe that the first story, it happens to me all the time.
Okay.
More examples.
So you're
than
the
I
only person
of.
Saying that the first story is true.
Yeah.
And everyone online is pretty much saying the first story is a lie?
They haven't exactly voted, but.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Which
so
story,
now I reveal it?
Which story is a lie?
It is true that I am going to Taco Bell tonight, but the story about Taco Bell is not true.
Yes, yes, yes.
The taser story is completely true.
How much did you rehearse that story?
I thought of it on the way here because I was just thinking, like what else was I doing around that era? Because I wanted to do two stories that were, like, similar in era.
That was smart.
Uh-huh. And that's a good play.
I love this place, but we're doing it from the Comedy Store. So I'm like, okay, what are two good Comedy Store stories? Or what are two ones that are believable? And, like, that PJ... The only reason I was hesitant to do the PJ one is my truth is because I'm sure in the back of Mike's head he knew what, like, he's heard that. Or he might have even been there. And, you know, like if you're a huge fan of like Punch Drunk or you watch Ren Azizi's podcast, it's like we all have talked about that.
Uh-huh.
And so that was kind of the fear, but I thought I might be able to skate with it. But I came up with the Taco Bell one on the way here.
Wow.
Good improv.
That was a good play. All right. Let's move on to Mike's recap.
All right, Mike's first story, he slept with 13 hookers 11 times or something along those lines because he needed the story is why he did that, and he had a lot of tragedy as a kid, so he wanted to get past that through hookers. So one time he's 18 years old, and he goes out with a Detroit hooker because his dad knows a lot of kinds of people. But this time they were out at a boxing match with his dad's friend's son and his buddy's dad there in Vegas, and his buddy's dad sends for a hooker, and Mike asks old Lane if he can hook him up with that hooker, and against Lane's better judgment, he does, and Mike got laid very quickly. Story two, post-Vegas hooker, he was in a basketball league and used to hang with this weed dealer from the newsstand on Sunset, and they had this team of a bunch of name-drop people, including Leo DiCaprio, right? I never heard DiCaprio, but it was Leo DiCaprio, right? Yeah. They invite him one night to this big after-party where Bobby Lee was sniffing glue running around, and Mike brought this girl who was actually a full-blown stalker of Leo's into his house. And got booted, but still they're buddies. So
that's awesome.
Before we get too far from it, I want to say I don't think 80 seconds is that bad for a hooker at 18.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
It didn't feel bad.
Yeah, I think that's not that bad.
It didn't feel bad at all. I was sweating.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the basketball thing is true, except that maybe it wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, and talking about structure, I mean, that was totally structured, like how his was structured with a callback and everything. You know, yeah.
But
I write. Caprio, I don't think he's that hot. And I don't think
well,
he would have been...
Well, you're
wrong. Yeah, and they have like the... what's the crew called? I don't know. Where they all slay poon together.
The poon platoon? I don't know.
It's something like that. I don't know. They got tattoos of it. Yeah. But I the only reason I think the first story has got to be a lie is because didn't he just tell us before we went on air that he was going to Vegas for a boxing match for the first time? I could have swore he even said for the first time.
Yeah, did he?
I thought you said it was your first boxing match that you like been to.
No, I did not say that.
Well, of course you're going to say you didn't say it now. No, no. I could have swore.
I've been to 100 boxing matches.
Plus, if this one's the lie, it would confirm the just like kind of what I'm going off of here is I'm just pretty sure this dude's never had to pay for sex before.
I don't think it's about having to pay for sex. I think, well, this is what fucks me up. It's because you started it with, I do things for a story. And at first I was like, oh, that's such bullshit. But then I'm like, no.
No, it's not bullshit.
Maybe. Oh, you fucker. Don't look at me and say that right in my eye.
At 18, was he doing something for the story? At 18?
What do you mean?
You know, I used to literally think to myself that I want to live wild. I was like, I want to live wild for 25 years, write about it for 20 years, and then live off that.
See,
I used to always do shit for the story.
Strategy. I was never able
to three-part strategy
articulate that strategy that well, but I do remember like as far back as high school where it's like you just do funny or fucked up stuff because you think it. You literally, and that was actually the phrase. Is you do it for the story. Now, whether that's an actual human being in Vegas or whether it's just like...
Why are you defending him like that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
We got each other's back.
Okay. All right.
I was that kid at the newsstand. I think if you're asking me, I think that I just... Because I know Mike really well, and I think that... I almost think that because the first story... It seemed like the second story when he was telling it, it was like he was trying to like piece together a little bit more. And so some people may read that as he's making up as it goes along. But to me, it was like if you're a comic and you're trying to do a bit on stage that you haven't done in like 5 years and you're like, no, but wait. And then that piece goes right there. And so it's almost like that, that gave it more authenticity.
No, you're very smart to say that because it turns out, I think a lot on the podcast when people kind of are stumbling around for the story, it tends to kind of sometimes be true a lot.
Yeah.
It's tough to recall facts. It's tough.
All right, let's take a vote. Austin, what do you think?
I can almost swear that you said that this was your first boxing match you were going to
Austin's
this weekend.
Austin's not letting this go.
And because didn't one of you say...
Meanwhile, your notes are combined. Yeah, you're like the Kaiser Soze of note-taking. You got...
Dude, your recaps are getting
his
so
recaps.
Hot.
He's got Bobby Lee on glue inside Leo's house. You know what I mean? He's got a hooker at 18 but that I got on a ski trip. You're mixing all my shit.
Didn't one of y'all say that I can't see Mike Young at a boxing tournament or a boxing match or something
like
that?
I can see Mike.
No, you can totally see Mike. Yeah.
I was a little confused in the first story when you were talking about the boxing match and you said that you knew was Lane the boxing doctor. Like it seemed like you kind of conflated like two different characters.
No, it was what I said was Lane was the guy who was like the connection, the underworld friend of my father's who had like all the connects in Vegas.
But an underworld person named Lane.
And the doctor, his son was my friend.
You don't
like
know
the
about
doctor
the Lane
was a
life.
Different person. These are all real people.
Yeah. Ken Lofgren said there's also a boxing match happening live tonight on ESPN Plus. So I don't know if that might have swayed the story. Maybe he just
maybe
came up with
it.
Tomorrow is
story.
The heavyweight championship of the world. Deontay Wilder. It's
maybe,
tomorrow.
Right. Maybe that reminded
would have been
him.
Convenient to come up with a boxing story then.
All right, I'm going to say the second story is true because, yeah, there's a lot of boxing things, and you did mention the boxing thing. But then he came with that guy who's like Rex.
He knows a lot of famous
people.
It's all from the newsstand to the basketball. That is how I know
and
all
I believe
my famous
that part.
Friends.
I believe
that's
that.
That's a fact.
I mean, believe that.
Yeah.
Wait, if you play ball or hockey in this town when you first get here, you're going to meet...
It's
I almost
true,
got I got in
true,
a fight
yeah.
in my
I
hockey
believe
league.
All that. And I don't believe the stalker part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stalker part is pretty crazy. That, you know.
I'm going to say that the first story is true, second story is a lie.
But then if I was a girl and I was stalking Leonardo DiCaprio, I would probably, if I was a person that stalked so much where I got on a list and my picture was on a list of stalkers, I would know, go to where famous people are. Famous people are at the comedy store. Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm going to say the second story is true.
The reason it doesn't seem unrealistic to imagine him ending up he accidentally brought that stalker to that house, but that stalker ending up back at Leah's house is exactly her life's goal.
And that's exactly the Taco Bell story if we want to.
True.
break it down. That's exactly how Mark likes.
That's the difference between
that's a good point.
Me and Mike is that he has Leo in his life. I have
Dave.
Dave.
Heckler from Taco Bell.
Triple burrito.
All right, I'm sticking with the second story is true.
And Michael, what are you thinking there?
Wait, the second story is the Leo stalker story.
Yeah.
Going second story is true. The hooker one's a lie.
I'm going to go, second story is true, and I think Austin was definitely working for the LAPD during the OJ scandal.
What do you Damn think?
It. I think the first one's true and the second one's a lie.
So you're the only one going against?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ken Lofgren's with you, so this all works perfect.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
You ready?
So which story is the lie?
The Leo story is the lie.
Oh, you bitch!
You got us!
Okay.
Jessica, she knows me. The Leo story, I blended like seven stories together.
Yeah. Fuck, I was on a streak. One. I was on a three streak.
Oh, I'm so sorry Career if I led you astray. Yeah. Oh, wow.
The first one was true.
Wow.
Hooker in Vegas.
So you were with a hooker when she... Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My job afterwards, not my job, but I had to walk her to the parking lot when the whole night was over. I had to walk her through the Vegas hotel with a bottle of wine that like... My dad's friend gave me to have for
Did
her.
She do all the people at the party?
No, just me and my dad's buddy.
Oh, he but went this sloppy was like seconds? This...
No, his...
I mean, it wasn't that uncle. Sloppy. I had a condom. Oh, it was 8 seconds long, so I don't even think he even remembered that I was even in
Did
there.
Did you try to make more awkward small talk when you walked through to her car?
Totally. I was literally...
So what are you doing for Thanksgiving? You got plans?
Yeah, I was in love.
Tell your kids I said hi.
I was totally in love.
Wow.
That was a true story.
That's a good walk of shame. That's a good walk. That's a triumphant
story. That's a
stroll.
Crazy story. Yeah. Wow, you guys are always such great guests. Thank you so much for those great stories. Thank you for coming back and doing it again because you're really good at it now. You guys are really good at it.
Thank
Where
you
can
for
people
having us.
Follow you or what do you have that I know you want to talk about your All Things Comedy special that you have shaking? Will you tell a little bit to the crowd?
Yeah, it's up on, it went up on Tuesday. It's got a crap ton of views right now. It's got a lot of great support. So thank y'all. If you've already seen it, if you haven't, it's called Dog Stepfather, and it's all true stories.
And why do you? Why I was curious because when I was watching it on Twitter, why did you call it Dog Stepfather?
So my ex, we dated for 2.5 years, and she has a beautiful Beagle Boston Terrier named Molly, and she's just the love of my life. So when we were dating, Molly and I really took to one another, and so after we broke up, we had a pretty nice, like, mutual-ish breakup and very amicable, and so we're still really good friends, and so we kind of share custody of the dog, so it's kind of like I'm the dog's stepfather.
Okay, okay. And what about you, Mike? What do you got shaking?
What do I got shaking? I just finished my pilot. It's called Who the F is Mike Young?
Yeah.
So it'll
He's
be...
He's the guy that banks hookers in Vegas. Yeah,
we know who Mike Young is.
Yeah. It's called Who the F is Mike Young? It'll be up on Mike Young YouTube channel soon. So we literally just finished it. It was directed by Kevin Connolly, who was on the basketball team. And it's starring myself and Chelsea Kane, Jessica Van... Stamos is in it, and that'll be coming out soon.
That's
and
then, huge, bud. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thanks, man. You know, I don't know if I'm doing great or terrible. I have no fucking idea what is happening in my life. If you feel like you're not doing anything, but you're just working towards something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we did it. I think it's funny. I'll send you guys a link.
Oh, I'd love to watch it.
Yeah. Actually, I put Curtis in it. Curtis, who runs this place.
Yeah, yeah.
He played a doorman.
Yeah,
so he played the doorman. So, like, one of the scenes is I walk up to the comedy store we shot here. So, I walk up and I'm like, hey, man, I just want to get my head straight before I go in. And he's like, no, bro, you got to go around the side. And I'm like, no, I'm on the wall. Mike Young, I'm in between Saget and Kinison. He's like, who the fuck is Mike Young? So that kicks off like the cold open.
Okay.
Who the F is Mike Young?
You remember when I was complaining to you that they took away that offer for that movie in Sacramento for me?
Yeah.
So then I ended up getting The Mule, which...
Yeah, I saw you and it was great.
Yeah.
Which filmed at the same time. So things happen for a reason.
Totally. Listen.
That's the lesson of this place. Is that it doesn't matter if you're doing great, if you're doing awful, if you don't know how you're doing, you always end up back here.
Because this is the artist's retreat. And like you just got to go make stuff, fail, get beat up. You know what I mean? Not as bad as I've been beat up, but like get beat up. You know what
so,
I mean?
It's so heartwarming to hear such a beautiful, uplifting a sentiment from you when we're in the room that people used to do coke and get fingered in. You know,
oh, everybody got fingered in here. And then you could follow me at The Real Mike Young on Instagram.
But we made it a festive fingering room.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy
thank
birthday,
thank
Felicia.
Thank you. There you go. That one is not correct.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's like a big morning after pill.
That's like Viagra that went wrong. Austin, where can people find you and what do you have shaking?
I'm at the Austin Walker on everything. Help me shoot my short film there. You'll find the link and all that. Find us here next Saturday. It's a week from tomorrow, November 30th, at the Liars Club at the Belly Room of the World Famous Comedy Store. We got Andy Letterman, Neil Brennan, Nick Novicki, Matt Devlin. I think Brian Simpson was added today.
Yes, and Yoshi.
And Yoshi's going to be
and
on
Jason
that.
Jason Tebow's going to co-host because I'm going to be in Palm Springs.
Oh, and Jason Tebow. Yeah. Everybody loves Tebow, so. Other than that, go Gators, beat Florida State. See you on Florida next week.
All right.
Week.
I do want to give a shout out to Todd Walker. He helped us put all the stuff together today for the thing and helped blew up the balloons. And
thanks,
thank you
Todd.
Very much, Todd. That was very festive here.
So
thank
Todd
you.
Todd changed his last name from Glaze to Walker.
Yeah.
We got married.
No, Todd is actually, Walker is very much more handsome than Todd Glaze.
Runs in the family.
Good dude, that Todd Walker.
And what about you, Michael Evans?
H-I-G-H-F-I-V-E, high five Michael on Instagram. I put my dates up all the time. I'm around town at the Comedy Store, Ice House Improv, and shit like that. Follow me up.
Yes, you know, Michael's kicking ass over at the Improv, too, so we're very excited for
him.
Thank
you. Good
man.
Thank you.
Things are going
well
for him. You can follow me, of course, as you guys know, Felicia Michaels, all across the board. Also, as you guys know, please go to Amazon Prime and watch my confessional special, as I like to call it, called The Whole Story and my documentary called Pervs. What about you, Jessica?
At Jess Wellington,
don't
too,
pull
on
your
everything.
Tits out.
Yeah, she's nuts.
You have been lied to.
She's got to go open the OR.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney believe you. You're the real liar. Please stand up.
She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.